It's good to be in church this morning. Good to have the rain out there, the life-giving rain.
Hey.
We need it for sure, so I'm very thankful for it. It's good to be in church this morning. It's good to be back at my church. We had a good time away in North Carolina, and that church is always a blessing to us when we're down there. We get to visit my in-laws, spend some time with family, get to spend time with my little baby niece, which was a blessing. And they're a blessing to us, but I'll tell you, it is good to always come back and be back at home with folks here at Race Street. You know, when you're away and you're at another church service, they can be a blessing to you, but you do sit there and just think, you know, I'd much rather be at my home church right now with my close friends and family, praising the Lord with you guys. So it's always a blessing to get back home when we're away. But let's see here. Brother Craig, I'm going to ask you if you'd open up the Sunday school hour with word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this day that you have created. We thank you, Lord, for the much-needed rain. We desperately need it, Lord. We just thank you for the many blessings that you give to us on a daily basis. We thank you for the love and care that you give to us, Lord. May we never lose sight of that. Pray, Lord, for the services today, that your Holy Spirit would move freely, congregations' hearts would be open, that we would become not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Be with the pastor as he brings forth your message. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And invite everyone to stand with me if you're able. Turn to page 504. Page 504, Sweet By and By.
Turning back.
and ask if you would turn with me to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, chapter number 3. We're going to be going over the first 3 verses in this chapter this morning. So it'll be Colossians 3, 1, 2, and 3. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Amen.
Song here. We're going to turn to page 460. You're able to stand with me. We're going to sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Amen.
Page 460.
This morning, amen. We'll have to stand outside with umbrellas to hear the word of God, which is a blessing. Thank God for the church building, for God's goodness to us this morning. I'm thankful again for God's word, that we have a copy of it in our hands, that we can read it and we can study it. I know here in the book of Genesis, been taking a little while here in this one little portion of scripture there dealing with Noah. And before we even get into Noah, of how that, you know, the Bible says that there were giants in the land, and Lord willing, hopefully, be able to finish up some of these thoughts here this morning that we've been looking at for a number of weeks, but I think they're very, very, very important. You know, what we can pull out usually in the physical, or what we can see in the physical realm here that God's given to us in His creation, we can also then usually, most of the time, apply it to spiritual matters. So often what we see in the physical, we can find in the spiritual realm as well. And so this morning, I'd like to try to finish up these last thoughts that I have on. We've kind of looked at facing the giants, you know, the giants keeping us back from the good lands that God desires for us to have in our lives, particularly when it comes to spiritual things. And for the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at it in a sense of trees. But last week I kind of made a transition from the trees that are planted by the rivers of water and they're able to bring forth fruit. And when the times of drought come, they don't see the drought because they're found next to that water. And they're able to bring forth fruit no matter what the season is. And I kind of apply that in our Christian walk. It doesn't matter what season we're going through. We should still be able to produce fruit in our life for others to see. And last week I kind of made a transition over into not just trees, but also sheep. So sheep take part in good pasture land. Sheep that are able to take part in good pasture land produce good things for God, good things for the shepherd. But we looked at last week about how sheep need water, and that water helps sheep. As you study sheep or you look at sheep, it talks about how sheep need water because it helps to transport nutrients throughout their body. You see, if you can't bring in water, if you don't bring in water, then it hinders the body's ability to transport through the bloodstream what nutrients the body needs in all of its organs and its muscles and in its functions. And so if you lack water, you lack the ability to get through your body the nutrients that it needs. And we looked last week, if you take your Bible and Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I rushed through some of these thoughts last week as we tried to close up. But I think they're very, very important, especially the day and hour that we're living in. In Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, very, like I said, a lot of Christians that desire to live for the Lord, these verses are usually memorized by those Christians. But as I said before, it does no good to memorize if it's not applied. Okay, it does no good to just have it in your mind and in your heart, and there's no meditation or application of those scriptures. Again, it's good that we memorize scriptures Sunday morning, but then we need to then apply those scriptures. It does no good just to sit there. It needs to be used, okay? And the Bible says Paul makes a very great request to the brethren there at Rome, and he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. We sang it this morning. I decide to follow Jesus. I decide to put the world behind me, take my cross, and go forward. And that principle is found here in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then it says this in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, we looked at it last week, by what? The renewing of your mind. For what purpose? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life. So being transformed by the renewing of your mind, and we looked at that definition and how it means to make new again, repair, reestablish, renovating. So I want you to take your Bible, and this is where we closed off last week, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 2. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 2. Let's go ahead and pray again. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning, Lord. I thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. I thank you for your word, Lord, and for this Sunday school hour. Thank you, Lord, that you got us here safely. So, Lord, I pray you bless this next little bit here, dear God, as we open up your word and we try to glean what's contained herein, Lord. Help us to apply it to our lives, Lord. Just help us not just to be hearers of your word, Lord, but help us to be doers as well, dear God. Help us to be about good works, Lord. Help us to be about fruit production in our life, dear God. Most importantly, for your glory and your honor. But then secondly, dear God, that we would be a witness and a testimony and a light to this crooked and perverse nation in which we live, dear God. That we would just hold forth that light, dear God, that some may pass by and see it and ask questions. And Lord, hopefully maybe ask questions and to see truly where they stand with you spiritually. So I ask for your help this morning. Clear my mind and thoughts, Lord, and just give wisdom and guidance, we pray, in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. But Peter here talks about, if you look at verse number 2 of chapter 1, he says, grace, peace, be multiplied in you through what? The knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life. And look at that next word. It says godliness. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. All right, we've looked at this study before when we went through the whole book of 2 Peter, but I think these are some of the most important scriptures in the Bible that a lot of Christians today fall short of the great and precious promises that are given to us in God's word. It says that by these you may be partakers of what? The divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay, the Bible goes on to say, verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the knowledge and the grace that we need to grow in is the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this will help us as we go forward living for God, when we grow in His knowledge of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And then we looked at it last week. Verse 9 says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. And scary, the Bible says, hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Imagine getting to that place, brethren, where you can forget that you were purged from your old sins. You can forget what God did for you. Why? Because you didn't do the building blocks that Peter mentions here in verses 5 through 7. He goes on to say in verse 10, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. He says in verse 13 again, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have what? These things always in my remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you what? The power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Remembering the things that God has done for us and not being forgetful hearers. So allowing the word of God, allowing the water of the word of God to flow through our spiritual life to bring the nutrients to the areas in our life that needs it. Next, you know another thing that water does? Water carries waste out of the body. Look, if you don't drink water, you're going to have a hard time purging your body of the waste that's in it. So water helps sheep in order to purge out of their body the things that are not good, and helps them, for lack of better words and to be discreet, to be able to go to the bathroom. It purges them. It helps them to be able to carry waste out of their body. That's the same thing that the Word of God does for us when we spend time in it. Take your Bible, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You know what water does? It helps get the bad things that are in your life out of your life. Not only does it help with the nutrients to go through your spiritual veins, so to speak, it also helps to get that stuff out of there that God doesn't want in your life no more. All right? Now, if we're honest, to the day we take our last breath, there is a pruning and a purging process that should be taking place in our spiritual life. There's a lot of Christians today that are falling prey and are being more concerned about their body and physical health, about what they eat and what they don't eat, and I drink this and I don't drink that, and I do this and I don't that. Okay, that's fine for the physical. That's all right. But it's a thousandfold more important on the spiritual side. Okay? Too many get caught up with the physical body and spend very little time on the spiritual body. And a spiritual body is what matters for the most part before God, okay? Take your Bible, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and look at verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and look at verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Keeping and taking part of the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth and getting rid of and purging that old leaven. What does he liken that old leaven from? What does he want purged out of our life? That leaven of malice and wickedness. You see, brethren, God is concerned with the heart. From Genesis to Revelation, you find this consistent principle of God looking at the heart. Because you know what, brethren? Actions can deceive. Motions and actions and works can deceive what's in here. A lot of people can go through the motions. They can do what God says to do. But like Jesus says, this people draweth nigh to me with their lips. They say all the right things. They got all the right words. They got all the right doctrine. They got all the right sayings. But their heart is far from me. That's why it goes on to say, by their fruits you'll know them. What do you taste like? That's the fruit. What when somebody takes a look, I gotta ask Mr. Dave and Miss Virginia, and they're not here this morning. Pray for them. But last week, I think it was last week, yeah, she gave me a little present. She said, by your door. I said, all right. She said, don't forget it. I said, I won't forget it. So I brought it home, and it was peaches. And it is some of them, I would have to say, it was the best peaches I've ever eaten in my life. I don't know where they got them from. I think my wife will attest to it. I'm not a big peach fan. But when I ate those peaches, they were awesome. They were good. I actually ate two of them, which I don't normally do. But when I bit into that peach, it was delicious. And so in the physical realm, you eat fruit, and if it's good fruit, it tastes really good. Thus it is in a spiritual realm. And so the works can be there, the words can be there, but is the heart there? What is in the heart? And Jesus said to the group that was following him, and we understand here that it wasn't an ungodly nation that was following Jesus. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Jesus was dealing with people who knew who the true God was. It was their God. He's the one that brought deliverance to them. He's the one that gave them the oracles and the laws and the statutes and the commandments. They had the priests. They had the tabernacle and the temple. These people knew who the true God was. But Jesus says to them, listen, you're saying the right things with your mouth. But Jesus says, your heart is far from me. So I say all to say this, that may God help us in our Christian walk to allow God to purge out, therefore, the old leaven. Purge out the things that God doesn't want in our life and allow God to bring into our life the things that he desires in sincerity and in truth. Take your Bible, look at the same principle. The same principle is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Water carries waste out of the body. Thus, the giants of the land don't want you getting to that good, clean water, which is going to help you in a multitude of ways in your spiritual walk. The devil does not want you spending time in your Bible. The devil does not want you spending time in the Bible. Your flesh does not want to spend time in the Scriptures. Your flesh does not want to spend any time in the Scriptures. It's going to want to do anything but read the Bible. The flesh lusts against the spirit. There's a war going on there. The spirit wants to get in there. Flesh says, no, there's something. We can do it later on. Now, listen. My pastor said this years ago, and I think it's a very wise statement. If the devil can't keep you out of your Bible, don't let him then dictate how you read your Bible. All right? You say, what do you mean by that? Let's say you wake up in the morning and you have your normal Bible study time. Now, I'm not talking about a devotional. I'm talking about where you're getting in your Bible. And you open it up and you start reading whatever chapter you're in or whatever, wherever you're at in your Bible reading. And all of a sudden a thought comes in your head, well, what about this question you have about this scripture over here? Sometimes I believe that's the devil trying to get you off track of where God wants you with where you're in your scheduled Bible reading. What about this question? Well, this brother asked this and he said this. Why don't you go try to figure out why this is like this? And now you're off on a tangent trying to figure all this out. And it's not where God wants you. And the devil's now, you've now allowed the enemy to get in to dictate how you read your Bible. Because he's not, you see, the enemy wants control. He wants power and he wants to be able to control how you operate. Don't be aware and don't be ignorant of the enemy's devices. Just because you're saved and you got a King James Bible doesn't mean like the devil's all scared and he's going to run away now. The devil knows the Bible better than we know the Bible. He knows that Bible inside out. And he knows how to deal with saints, some good saints, from the beginning of time up to this point we're at right now. The devil even dealt with the Lord Jesus Christ himself and used Bible in that attack. What do you think he's going to do with us? So don't let, be careful that the enemy doesn't dictate then how you read your Bible and get you off track of where God wants you to be in your Bible. Does it make sense? So 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse number 19. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19, talking about water carrying waste out of the body. 2 Timothy 2, verse number 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from what? Iniquity. What is iniquity? Sin, wickedness, ungodliness, injustice, not doing right. So if a preacher or somebody gets up and preaches and teaches saying, hey, you need to stop sinning in your life, it's exactly what the Bible says to say. Let them that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That means if you're living in fornication, stop living in fornication. I'm not being mean when I say that. That is Bible. Let them. If you claim to be a Christian, if you claim the name of Jesus Christ, and you don't depart from iniquity, you're blaspheming his name. You're blaspheming the name of Christ. You're bringing a reproach upon not a church or a pastor. You're bringing a reproach upon the precious name of Jesus Christ. You see, if you continue on in your sin and think that God's just going to overlook it because he's gracious and he's loving, my friend, you are severely deceived by the enemy of God. Jesus said, if you name my name, depart from iniquity. What did he tell that adulterous woman when she was caught? Depart, go, sin no more. Go and sin no more. Don't go back into your adulterous relationship. She was just as guilty as the man, and the Lord knew that. And he says, go and sin no more. Don't make excuses. Well, it's a mistake. No, it's not a mistake, my friend. It's sin. And a lot of churches today look at it, well, they just committed, it's just a mistake. No, my friend, it's not a mistake. It's sin. And the Bible says, let them that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, look why? Verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Look what it says in verse 21. What Paul tells Timothy. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Goes right back to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Knowing the perfect will of God, prepared unto every good work. I'm telling you, brethren, God's not going to use an unclean vessel. God's not going to use an unclean vessel. You might be saved, but God's not going to use an unclean vessel. If there's iniquity, if there's bitterness, if there's strife, if there's envy, if there's anger, if there's malice, if there's any one of these things inside us as Christians, these things need to be purged out so that we're a vessel that the Lord can use for his glory and for his honor. We need to allow the word of God to carry the waste out of our life. Secondly, water is needed for the chemical reactions that take place in digestion. If you're not drinking water right, if you're not bringing the word of God into you, you're going to have a hard time digesting the very word of God. Not only do we need to meditate upon the word of God, but our very meditation on the word of God helps with our meditation, if that makes sense. By bringing in the word of God, it helps us to digest other parts of the word of God that we have may have taken in. That's why it's so important to know your Bible. Not just little portions of the Bible or your little pet sections, but to know the whole canon of Scripture. You see, if God only wanted us to know three books in the Bible, then he wouldn't have given us 66. You say, well, the Old Testament's no good because I'm not in the Old Testament no more, which is true. Understand, I'm all about dispensation and study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that rightly divideth the word of truth. I understand about dividing, but you can still learn principles from the Old Testament. What do you think Paul preached, brethren? He preached the Old Testament. He pulled principles out of the Old Testament and brought them into the New Testament. And what Christ fulfilled in the Old Testament, he shows in the New Testament. So we need the whole canon of scriptures. Now we take it, rightly divide it, but all is given for our profit and to strengthen us and to encourage us and to help us to learn spiritual principles. So take your Bible, look at Psalm chapter 1, verse 2. Again, a portion of scripture that we've memorized in this church, not only with me, but in years past, I believe you all have memorized this verse. But look at Psalm chapter 1, in verse number 2. Very, very familiar. Very, very, very familiar portion of the Bible. Psalm chapter 1, verse number 2. Talking about the man. It says, but his delight is what? In the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. It's a consistent meditation. The Bible says in Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So look, what we meditate on, what we think on, hopefully it's acceptable to God. If we're meditating on and we're thinking on things that aren't bringing God glory and honor and are helping to promote what God wants done in our life, it's not going to be acceptable to him. So we want to meditate and we want to think on those things that are acceptable in the sight of our God, who is our strength and our Redeemer. Now, that kind of goes back to what we were looking at last week in the Sunday morning message about being of good courage and having strength, and the joy of the Lord is your strength, and in the presence of the Lord is strength. And the Bible says here that our meditation, the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart, be acceptable in the sight, who what? Who is our strength and our Redeemer. The psalmist also goes on in chapter 104, verse 34, my meditation of him shall be sweet, I will be glad in the Lord. So water helps carry nutrients through the Bible. The water helps carry waste out of the Bible. Water helps in digestion. And water also helps to keep our cells healthy and hydrated. You see, human cells are the building blocks for all living things. If you didn't have cells in your body, you wouldn't be able to live. The cells are building blocks in our body. You see, cells provide structure for the body. Cells take in nutrients for food. Cells convert those nutrients into energy. And those cells help carry out specialized functions. You see, cells also contain the body's hereditary material and can make copies of themselves. I'm going to get to something this morning here. Cells are very needful. It's the building blocks of life. It contains our DNA, and cells are essential for us. But water helps our cells. It helps our cells to stay hydrated and healthy. You say, you look at this in a spiritual sense, and it helps. The Word of God helps our spiritual cells to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It helps us to stay structured and purposed in our lives. It helps us to encourage us and to give us zeal in our lives. It helps us in our ministries, which we're called to fulfill. And it helps also in our ability to witness to others with the hopes that we will reproduce. You see, cells need water in order to divide and reproduce, to cause new cells to be made. And Christians need the Word of God to help them to have boldness, hopefully to go out there and witness and tell others about the glories and the salvation contained in Jesus Christ, with the hopes that it will be duplicated and you'll get a new birth. The Word of God will encourage you to speak up when God wants you to speak up, to talk to somebody about their soul. You know, I don't know about you, but when God's in something, usually there's all kinds of battles in it. When God's in something, usually everything in your flesh doesn't want to do it. Usually that's a good key, knowing that's probably what God does want you to do. When everything in you is saying no, another time, not right now, don't say it right now, they'll have another opportunity, that's usually probably when God's wanting you to say something. But the times where there's no opposition, if maybe that might not be the time to speak. Brethren, Paul asked in the New Testament for the brethren to pray for him that God would grant him boldness to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. But God desires for us to try to go out there and be a witness with the hopes of reproduction, or should I say, someone coming to the opportunity to be born again and made a new creature in Jesus Christ. You know, another thing that water we need with water is the water needs to be clean. And that goes without saying here in this church, but the water you should be drinking from is a King James Bible. Right? You need to drink water at least once a day. Evening, the Bible, Psalm, David says, evening and morning and at noon while I pray and cry aloud, and thou shalt hear my voice. You need to drink water more than once a day. Lastly, some of the last things I want to look at here concerning water is this thing right here. Now you have sheep, and what we see in sheep, we also see in our own personal lives in a physical sense. Brian's got a bottle of water right there, and he drinks that water, and it helps his body with the nutrients and the cell production and carrying waste out of his body. It helps him physically. But today, Brian's probably going to be eating other things today and not just drinking from that bottle of water. And the food intake he takes today is also going to have some traces of water within it as well. If you eat a watermelon, there's been some good watermelons this year. Real good watermelons. And I'm not a big fan. I like watermelon, but this year we've eaten four of them in the last like 4 or 5 weeks. And we've got a couple watermelons that you take it in your mouth and you let it dissolve in your mouth, and all of a sudden you know you got a whole mouthful of water. Because of how much water is contained in that fruit. Now I'm not drinking a bottle of water there, but I am taking water in by eating that fruit that God has created. And it's the same thing in the spiritual realm. We can drink in water from the very pure source of the King James Bible, but there's also other areas where we can take in spiritual principles. The Bible talks about comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. And you can pull out spiritual principles, water, for lack of better terms, good water, out of learning things about creation. You study the monarch butterfly, and you can pull out spiritual principles out of that study from something that God's created. So I say that to say that you can pull water, good water, out of other sources as well. Okay? But you have to be careful with what you eat. You see, moisture in food or moist feeds for sheep will reduce water intake. So if sheep are eating a lot of feed or food that's got some sense of water in it, and they take it in, chances are they're not going to want to drink the good water, the clean water, or the fresh water because of what they've eaten. And so I'm going to apply this part is in our Christian walk, we need to be careful what we're taking in, even if it's semi-good from the outside world there, that it doesn't quench our thirst and our time spent in our Bibles. This makes sense. And this can be good as well as bad. Obviously, there's bad foods that we can eat out there that's not good to eat on a consistent basis. Okay? There's nothing wrong with listening to preaching on YouTube or on tapes or on CDs. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't let that be a substitute for the water that you get from here. All right? Music is good. God's given us music. Good, godly music is good. But don't let it quench your thirst in the sense that you spend more time of trying to find being uplifted by that rather than spending time in this. Does it make sense? So those things are good, but don't let them quench your thirst from what you find in the Bible. Now, I said this last week that moist foods can reduce a sheep's physical thirst. Just like with Christians, the things that they take in out there can quench their thirst from the Word of God. You see, dry feed can do the same thing. Dry feed can cause you to be more thirsty, which is good. Now, I want to look at this real quick this morning. Take your Bible, Proverbs 27, verse 7. Proverbs 27, verse 7. And a lot of your pastors today and good Bible-believing churches are having to deal with this verse right here. Okay? Proverbs 27, look at verse number 7. Preachers today are having, good preachers, good godly men, good godly churches across this land, pastors are having to deal with this verse right here. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb. Do you see that verse? It says a full soul loatheth, he doesn't just want it, he loathes it. Like, get that out of my face before I throw up type of loathe. There's a spiritual principle in this. If any of you have ever been to Shady Maple, I think I've only been there one time and I was a teenager, and it was one of the worst experiences I've ever had in my life. And it was not because of the food. Well, it was because of the food. It was because of the amount of food that I partook in. Brother, I don't remember a lot about my youth. A lot of people remember everything. But I do remember this. I remember going with my grandparents and my parents down there, spending time there, but eating so much and getting into the minivan and just not wanting to see food ever again. That's how much I ate, and I regretted it. I was a teenager. I regretted it. I indulged myself beyond what I should have. And it affected me physically, and I didn't like it. I was like, ugh. And so if somebody would have come up to me right after that and said, here's your favorite dessert, I would have loathed it. Get that out of my face before I do something else. The full soul loatheth the honeycomb. And a lot of people are going to church this morning, and I said it last week, they're Epicurean Christians. Because they got a full soul, and they loathe the honeycomb. You see, they go out there and they get filled up with all these internet preachers. And I'm going to tell you this morning, brethren, your preacher right here cannot keep up with everything that's going on out there. See, you might have time to sit at home and watch 5 hours of preaching on some strange doctrines and all that. And then you come to your preacher, and your preacher, me right here, might look at you like in a fog. And I'd be like, I have no idea. Nor do I care most of the time. Why? Because there's other things going on in my life spiritually as a pastor that's way more important than some odd question that's out there. That has no implications on the souls of men or your spiritual growth. I don't have 5-6 hours a day to spend listening to every YouTube preacher out there and the doctrines that they're putting forth. I don't got time for it. I'm trying to get in there, get 4 messages together. I'm trying to visit people. I got funerals to deal with. I got people that are in bad spots. And I don't got time. And I don't think God ever intended it to be that way. Those that are listening live stream, if you're listening to live stream right now, and it's not because of sickness or something like that, or some reason you can't be in church, you need to be in church. Live stream is not a substitution for church. Well, I'll just stay home this morning because it's just easier for me to stay home just so I can watch it. No. And see, preachers of old didn't really have to deal with what preachers today got to deal with. Charles Spurgeon's time, Jonathan Edwards' time, William Carey's time, Adoniram Judson, Hudson Taylor. You want to go even back further than that, Paul. And the only way they had to deal with false doctrines is if it came across their path, because Paul didn't have his cell phone. And Paul, when he went into his jail cell, he didn't have his computer to bring up all his emails of everything that's going on. If it came across him, it came across either by somebody bringing it to him or somebody sending a letter to him. But preachers today and Christians today have it at their fingertips. And I don't think God initiated or God desired for it to be that way. And thus, when the local church, the preacher starts preaching something, well, that's not what he said, and that's not what he said, but that's not what he said. Well, then maybe you should go join their church then. God established YouTube as the pillar and ground of truth. No. God established the local church. The church, the local church is the pillar and ground of truth. That's why it's so important to find a local church, join that local church, and be faithful to that local church. Because the local church is no substitute for the local church. Because that's what God's ordained and set up. You know why? Because sometimes God will have me say something that's going to make you mad. And you're not going to like it. You're not going to want to eat your vegetables. Just like a little kid put broccoli in front of them, they don't want nothing to do with it. Peas. And now, don't get all spiritual. My kid likes all of it. You know what I'm saying. Most kids don't care for broccoli. Most kids don't care for peas. That's one vegetable I had a hard time with peas growing up. I used to swallow my peas. My mom and dad would be like, you ain't leaving this table till you eat those peas on that. I would sweat like that. I would sit there for hours sometimes like, I cannot eat these peas. I would try, I was a bad kid. I was bad. I was deceptive. You know the people you got to worry about is the people that don't talk much. Yeah, that'd be me. I would take my peas and I'd eat them. And then I would act like Chris is, I'm not saying Chris is acting right now, but he's coughing. I would cough and spit them in my napkin. Then I would crumble my napkin up, slyly put it in my pocket. That's what I would do. I was so bad as a kid, in this sense, so deceptive, that my parents would take me to church every time the doors were open, and I despised it as a young person growing up. I didn't like it. Especially during football season. I didn't like being in church on a Sunday night when the Super Bowl was on. So what I did one year is I said, okay, I got me a Walkman. I put the Walkman, because it was cold, because it's Pennsylvania. I wore my jacket in church. I put the Walkman inside of my jacket. I ran the headset down through my sleeve. I kept it in the palm of my hand. And when the preacher was preaching, I was listening to the Super Bowl like this. Yeah. I'd have been a good Secret Service agent or CIA or something like that. I'm sneaky. But God knows. And so I say all this to say this, is your local church sometimes is going to give you what your need is, and that's your need. Something that you don't want to take in. But God says this is what you need to take in. You see, the one thing nice about YouTube is you can pick what you want to listen to. And you can suit your fancy of this is my nice subject that I want to look at, and it's not going to offend you. But you come to your local church, chances are I'm going to offend you by God's word and maybe offend you just because of the way I talk or things like that. But that's what we need. And that helps us to grow in grace and love to one another. You see, how do you show grace if you're not put in an ungraceful situation? How do you grow in charity if you're not put in situations where you need to show charity? Which is the bond of perfectness. The bond of perfectness is not some new doctrine or strange doctrine or something out there on the wild ends of the earth. The bonds of perfectness, the Bible says, is charity. That's what God desires to develop in our life. I think the most important thing God desires to develop in our life is charity. Well, you can't get practice at showing charity unless you're around people that you're uncharitable to. So God's got to put you in some bad spots in order for that good fruit to come out and to grow you and to get you where God wants you to be. To where, brethren, you're not affected by what goes on around you. It doesn't affect your spirit. Rather, it encourages you to show that charity, to show that grace, to show that love. Because isn't God gracious to us? Does not God show charity to us? But you see, the full soul loatheth the honeycomb, but to the bitter... Look at what the Bible says here, last part of Proverbs 27:7. The full soul loatheth the honeycomb, but to what? To the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. My pastor used to say this because he grew up in the mountains of North Carolina. He says the old men of old, those lumberjacks, they used to say a cross-cut saw will make you love pinto and beans like nobody's business. And what he was saying is if you go out there and you work your tail off from sundown or sunup to sundown, and you come home and you just been working and something's put up in front of you, you ain't got a lot of food, you're going to eat that and you ain't going to care what it is because you're thankful you got some food to eat because you've been working and you're hungry. But the people that don't work and they don't get hungry, you could put something delicious in front of them. I don't like it. That's not good. The full soul loatheth the honeycomb, but the Bible says, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. And that is a cross reference, as we close up this morning, that's a cross reference back over to where David says, let the righteous smite me. It shall be an excellent kindness and an oil over my head. You see, those things go together, brethren. So what does that take when you come to church? You need to work off what you get in church through the week so that when you come to church, you're hungry. If you ain't doing nothing out there in a spiritual sense, you're going to come to church and you're going to be full, and you're going to be an Epicurean. You're going to nitpick at everything that's done. Brethren, the Lord says, listen, He says, take the beam out of your own eye before you start worrying about the speck or the mote that's in your brother or sister's eye. You see, it's so easy to put the magnifying glass on others when we should ask God to put the magnifying glass on us. They don't do this right, and they don't do that right. Can you believe he did that? Can you believe she said that? Ask God to flip that thing around on you. And put me under the microscope, God. What did Paul say? He says, Lord, and David said, examine me, O Lord. Try me, know me, God. If there be any wicked way in me, Lord. David had a heart towards God. Say, God, show me that I can get those things right to be pleasing in your sight and not be worried about examining somebody else's life. Paul says, examine yourselves. Prove your own selves. But sometimes we get too worried with everybody else that's around us rather than worried about us. And the water will help us with that. Water will help us with that. You see, as we close up here this morning, you see, water will help in a lot of ways. You see, sheep sweat. And I'm not going to get into it this morning. I thought I'd be able to get through these last few points, but I'm gonna, because there's so much here. But sheep, often when it gets hot out there or sheep are out there in the fields, they start sweating and they get warm. And what they do is they go off and they get under a shade tree. But you got to be careful, brethren, how much time sheep spend underneath a shade tree. You see, because in the physical realm with sheep, if they spend a lot of time in the shade and not out doing what they need to be doing, but spending time in the shade, it can cause that area in that shade to produce parasites. So a shepherd has to be very, I'm talking about a real shepherd, has to be careful with the amount of time his sheep spend in a shaded area, because they trample that ground down and there's a chance for parasites to start affecting his sheep. You see, parasites cause infections. Parasites can spread to others. And you know, one of the main ways that parasites are spread with sheep is through their dung. So what happens is when sheep are in a lot in an area and they stay there for a long period of time, whether underneath a shade tree or even in a penned-in area, and a shepherd doesn't move them and get them to where they need to be, they're going to go to the bathroom there, and that dung is going to cause problems maybe for one sheep, and then if that problem or that parasite affects one, it spreads really quick to the other sheep. What are you saying, preacher? What I'm saying is, do not give any ear to Christians who are putting dung into your ear. They got a bad attitude, they're complaining, and it's dung in the sight of God, in God's eyes, it's a stench to his nostrils, and you know what? It spreads quick. It spreads real quick. That parasite spreads quick. Well, you know what? Yeah, now that you said it, you're right about that. You just got somebody else infected with your poor attitude. They were doing fine till you started bringing something up, and now it's spread to this other sheep. And then from that sheep to that sheep and then that sheep to that sheep, now you got discord and now you got sickness within the flock. You know why that often occurs? It's because you're spending too much in the shade and you're not out there working. You say, preacher, what's that working? Well, if you can't get out, that working could be prayer. That working could be writing a letter. That working could be sending a card of encouragement. There's things that we can do that'll help stop spread of parasites. These things are important, brethren. We got to be careful that we don't let them eat us up and make us sick. And help and cause us to be unfruitful and productive for our Savior. You see, parasites are a problem, and we'll look at that later on as it affects sheep. Sheep need to be in the pasture. Sheep need to be eating the good ground, the good grasses. And sheep need to be spending time near good, clean water so that they're productive for their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But as I close this up, the giants don't want you there. You know what a giant is that a lot of Christians got to deal with? Or some Christians got to deal with? Is a giant of slothfulness and laziness. Don't be overtaken by the giant of laziness, slothfulness, or not working. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for these principles. Lord, I pray you'd help me to apply them in my own life, dear God. Lord, help me to watch my mouth, dear God. Help me to watch my thoughts, dear Lord. Help me to guard my heart. Father, I pray you'd help guard my heart. Lord, I pray as David prayed, I believe, Lord, to set a watch over my lips. Dear God, help me to be careful what I say, Lord, and how I say it. Lord, help me to do those things that are always pleasing to you, dear God. Help let the meditation in my heart, dear God, be acceptable to you, dear Lord. Help the words of my mouth to be acceptable to you, dear Lord. And help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our precious and dear Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to learn these principles and help us just not to learn them, Lord. Help us to apply them for your glory and your honor. And Lord, help us to face these giants in our life, dear God, that we would take hold of the tableland and, Lord, grow. We pray these things now in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We'll be praying. Amen. We'll be praying here in about 5 minutes if you're interested. Take a little break here. We'll be getting going here in just a little bit. Amen.